There's the brush. These are calfskin, so we can't sting through them.
Pamela Murphy dons a classic white bee suit, making sure all the zippers are zipped, the Velcro is fastened, and the elastic cuffs are pulled down well over her extra tufts. Then she slides on her calfskin gloves. She's had her bees for about 2 weeks, and she hasn't been stung yet. Murphy's bee box sits in a sunny clearing. Several bees meander toward a small opening in the wooden crate that's about the size of a microwave. The pollen baskets on their hind legs are swollen and bright yellow. Murphy opens the lid to reveal the 9 trays that fill the box. She lifts one up. It's teeming with bees that are beginning to build a honeycomb.
The bees are mostly working on creating the wax comb to have all this space to store honey. And then ultimately, come late August, early September, we'll take the frames out of the honey supers and try to extract what honey we have. And then the ultimate goal is to then take these bees, insulate the hive, and try to winter them over.
That's an unusual goal for beekeepers in Alaska. Honeybees need temperatures above 50 degrees to fly. They need to fly to defecate, and if they don't, they'll become septic and die. So most Alaska beekeepers kill their bees when the temperatures plunge and start over with a new colony in the spring. But Murphy has a strategy, and Bristol Bay's temperatures are mild enough relative to the rest of Alaska that it just might work.
Bees do go into a kind of a hibernation state. We'll put everything into one brood box, so we won't extract all their honey. We want them to keep what they need to survive the winter. We'll insulate, I guess the brood box, we'll insulate it. So we'll hopefully do maybe some controlled climate, maybe put something over them to warm it up so they can get out at least one time in the winter to go to the bathroom.
This beekeeping project began with a February class at the University of Alaska Fairbanks Bristol Bay campus. Don Kogan, a master beekeeper from Fairbanks, taught a weekend crash course in Dillingham. Afterward, 4 people, counting Murphy, decided to make a go of it and order their own bees. Turns out, even getting bees to rural Alaska can be a chore. Some bees got loose in the cargo hold when the first vendor tried to ship Murphy's bees, and the airline refused to carry that vendor's goods. The second vendor was more successful at keeping the critters contained. Her roughly 20,000 Carniolan bees arrived from California a couple weeks ago. Murphy is in this for more than the honey. Her hive is so new, she'll probably only get a jar or two this year. It's really about the science.
Part of the hive that I have is working with the Bristol Bay campus and working with Don Kogan to basically do the research and find out, can we winter bees over? What does it take to winter bees over? And between myself and the other 3 beekeepers, we will gain enough information to be able to, you know, do it again and again and again, and then give that information to Don Kogan, who can then put it into her work and basically have a set of standards in beekeeping in Dillingham, Alaska.
Between the bees and the equipment, Murphy has about $600 invested in her hive. If the bees don't survive the winter, it will be a little over $200 to order more next year. But if the experiment is a success, this will be the first time bees have been successfully wintered over in Dillingham. As she replaces the top of her bee box, Murphy uses a brush to gently sweep the bees away from the edges, trying not to squish any.
Bear with me 1 second, just make sure my top is on good.
With that gentle care, Murphy and the small community of Dillingham beekeepers she calls a bee club hope to make a hospitable home in a harsh climate for Dillingham's new buzzy residents. In Dillingham, I'm Avery Lill.